Welcome to Gruesomely Gorgeous. I'm your host, Taylor Wells. Joining me, my fellow narrator, Crystal Nail. All of our stories are researched by our criminal justice expert, Caitlin Brandt. Together, we are Gruesomely Gorgeous. Hey everybody, welcome back. Taylor here, and this first story is going to actually be my very own true story. This story takes place back in 2015 when my family visited Hawaii for several weeks. My older sister and I were flying back all by ourselves. I was just turned 18, and so she's 3 years older than me, so she was 21. So we were still kind of, you know, young adults new to the world. We were flying back, and we live in Texas, so we had a layover in Los Angeles. All fine and dandy. We had a long enough flight already from Hawaii, but there was a huge storm over Los Angeles. So our pilot, who also happened to be named Kevin Hart, circled around the storm for about an hour before telling us, well, folks, we only have so much fuel, so we gotta land somewhere. The whole plane started freaking out a little bit, but he announced that we're just gonna go to San Francisco and have a layover there. We get to San Francisco, which everybody else who was trying to land in Los Angeles had to go to as well. The tarmac was all trafficy and blocked up, and we had to sit there for not one, not two, not three, but 6 hours on the tarmac. It was the most claustrophobic, terrible experience of my life. Because there are so many people on this flight and we were on there for now a total of 11 hours, the toilets on the plane were overflowing everywhere. Everything stunk. And just when we thought it couldn't get any worse, we were allowed to leave. Yay, freedom. But we were also very, very hungry because the plane ran out of food. My sister and I, being very ravenous, went over to a Philly cheesesteak place. I ordered our food and sat there and waited for it. I watched as the man took out the raw meat with his gloved hands and promptly did not remove his gloves before touching the bun and preparing our sandwiches. I was disgusted. All I wanted was good food after this long-ass flight and being so hungry and frustrated, and I also get very nauseous on flights, so this was not the best day for my stomach. I did not want to add food poisoning on top of that. So I went to the cashier and told her what I just saw, told her how disgusting it was and that I wanted a refund. She gave me a refund, and everybody else in line heard what I was saying and left. The people there were pissed, which they had no right to be because they're serving people cross-contaminated food, which is disgusting. We had to opt for a Starbucks knockoff restaurant where we got sandwiches and some fruit and some drinks. Nothing really hearty, but it was going to have to do because there were no other restaurants in our area, and we had no idea when we were going to be able to board the plane again, because this was an unexpected, unplanned layover, and they were just stopping to refuel. It's announced that we're able to get back onto the flight. Yay, I thought. All of the distressed passengers quickly boarded onto the plane, stuffing themselves in their seats, anticipating takeoff. We're all strapped in and ready to go. And then, over the PA system, we hear the flight attendant telling us that we have to board the plane with our luggage. So that means we had to take all of our luggage off the plane and reboard with the luggage and put it back exactly where it was. This was because of some safety law. I don't know anything about that, but we had to do it. Everybody was pissed. We were so tired, and this was going to take Lord knows how long to redo. We all do it and reluctantly sit down in our chairs again, ready for takeoff. After a little while, we get back to LA. Everyone is just pissed at this point because we all missed our connecting flights and we're going to have to reschedule it. We get off the plane in LA and we walk towards the customer service area, and there is a long, long, long line, and my heart just sank. It was all of those people who were trying to land in the storm, too. It wasn't just our flight. It was everybody. I wound up in that line for 2 hours. My sister and I were still hungry because we had been snacking on fruits and pastries on the plane. I went over to this amazing little pizza place that's in the LA airport that we always, always hit up. My sister saved our spot in line, and I grabbed the pizzas and returned to our spot in line. We waited and waited and waited until we got to the front, and there were no more flights. There were no flights until morning. So we had to stay the night. Okay, well, we'll just get a hotel. No big deal, right? So we went to the courtesy phones downstairs at the airport that lets you automatically just call different hotels and try to book a room. We did that for 3 hours long. Yes, 3 hours. All those other people couldn't get flights either, and they needed to stay somewhere. So everywhere was booked up. And by everywhere, I mean everywhere, because I think there was like a convention or something also going on at the same time. So there was no help. We had called my dad and told him about everything that had happened, and we were freaking out and alone and scared and really tired. We needed him to help us find a place to stay for the night. So after he combed through the internet and found a booking, he told us where to go. It was like a nicer place, which makes sense why it would have a room left, because most people are going to try to opt for the budget things, especially in Los Angeles. We got a taxi and drove all the way over there, which was quite a while. And we paid the taxi man and we got out and walked into the hotel. It was a very interesting hotel. The entrance and lobby area looked like that episode of SpongeBob where it's in the future and everything is chrome. This was not the most relaxing for tired eyes. We get up to the front desk and ask the lady about our booking, and she tells us, oh, well, our online booking system is broken, and we're actually sold out of rooms, so sorry, you don't actually have a room booked tonight. And we completely shut down after that, because we thought our night was going to be over, but no, no, no. It had only still just begun. We were in the middle of LA, basically homeless, and my sister, my older sister, does not cope with lack of sleep very well. I'm one to talk, of course, because I get the same way when I don't eat, I have low blood sugar, and she's just that same way whenever she doesn't get enough sleep. She's a Taurus. She can't help it, of course. So we have to leave the hotel lobby because the lady basically said that we can't loiter there. So we're walking around the streets, and this prostitute walks up to us and says, beautiful fucking weather we're having, isn't it? Walked off and promptly tripped on her flip-flop and walked away. That was probably the least interesting thing in that moment, because the hotel right across the street, it was found out years later when all this R. Kelly stuff came out, that he actually had a room where he had kept a young girl in there. Held her captive for a really long time in that hotel. And this was 2015, so she was actually in that hotel when we were there. I just find that absolutely chilling and terrifying that she was right there and we had no idea. We're wandering around the streets of LA with our neck pillows and the leftovers of our pizzas, and we're wondering, my God, what are we going to do next? I call my dad again and tell him, okay, this didn't work out. We really need your help again. So he gets back onto the internet and calls just to double check. And he found us a room at the Hollywood Roosevelt. Now, if you don't know what the Hollywood Roosevelt is, you would be in the same boat as me. I had no idea about the haunted history of it, but I'll get to that later. So we take another taxi all the way to the other side of town again. I think, of course, the Hollywood Roosevelt. It was in Hollywood. So we went all the way over there and we got out of our taxi and we got to the front of the hotel, and you have to take an elevator down to get to the lobby, which I thought was weird. So the doors open up and my sister and I walk out, and my gosh, the air in there was so thick. And I don't mean like physically thick. I mean spiritually thick. Like you walk in and you're like, what the fuck is this? The lights were dim. There were people in casual clothing and then just random ball gowns. And I don't know, like the decades didn't match up either. It was all sorts of mismatched fashion. My sister and I had the same thought. It's like walking into the gates of hell. It literally felt like hell, and it was not a good feeling. So suddenly, this man, someone you might describe as a nice guy, quote unquote, walked up to us and he looked at my sister saying, "So, I heard everything's bigger in Texas, huh?" Referring to her University of Texas at San Antonio t-shirt that she was wearing. We both took it as he was calling her fat, but then he just explained that it was a bad pickup line. He said that he was with his friends and he was drunk and they had a party bus out back with chips and dip, and if we wanted to, we could hang out with them. We were so tired at that point, we halfway considered it, because it would be a place that we could lay our head down, but we'd come this far and we really had to see if the hotel was going to have a room for us. Plus, a party bus out back sounds really sketchy, but desperate times, I suppose. We check in and go up to our room. This room happened to be like $300 a night, so I was expecting it to be like really nice or something just because, you know, I am from Texas, I guess. The cost of living here is a little different, so a $300 room goes a hell of a lot further than in LA. But it was like this tiny-ass little room. We put our luggage down and sit for half a second before realizing that there were dirty towels all over the table in the front of the room and a half-drank milkshake. So, yeah, that was a problem. They didn't even clean the towels or clear the dishes. How do we know that the sheets were clean or anything was clean? I took the liberty to call the front desk because my sister, of course, was checked out, and I told the man that there was a milkshake. But at that moment, I completely fucking lost it, and the delirium set in. I started crying and laughing and crying and laughing back and forth, and I couldn't even get out what I was trying to say. It was so embarrassing, but the man understood that we were just so tired and we needed some help. Thankfully, he upgraded us to a suite, which is normally $1,500 a night. Woo! He upgraded us that for free because I acted like a crazy person on the phone. He's like, "These girls need to sleep." So shout out to whoever that was, because you literally made it so much better for us, because oh my gosh, I couldn't deal with a dirty situation, especially after that raw Philly cheesesteak incident. We go up to the suite. It is such a nice part of the hotel and immediately less creepy in the hallway. But then we open the door and we got that really creepy feeling again. Now, this was a really, really nice room for sure. It had several like sections. It had a living room, bedroom, bathroom, dining room, things like that. It was something that celebrities would definitely be staying at. Not us regular people, of course, but I felt blessed to be able to have that experience. So we go into the bedroom and we're like, okay, so we're going to take a shower, get all of these airport germs off of us, and go to bed. Looking next to the bed, though, got an even creepier vibe because there was a tiny framed photograph of Judy Garland placed on the wall, hanging there at about hip's height next to the bed, so someone laying in the bed could just stare at her face. It had nothing to do with the decor. It was just there. You go into the bathroom, and honestly, it felt like an asylum in there. Like the steam, the white everything, and oh, it was just creepy. I get out of the shower and I see I have about a million missed calls from one of my friends that lives in LA. I had called him also because figured maybe he would let us stay at his place for the night or come pick us up or literally anything. But he was working and didn't have his phone on him until way later in the night. He was so apologetic and offered to drive us to the airport in the morning just to save us a little money. He said it was the least he could do, considering that he wasn't there to help us out. Which, of course, that wasn't his fault, and we weren't mad or anything, but we accepted his ride. It was very nice of him. But his family was notorious for being late for everything. With LA traffic, you have a recipe for disaster. Thankfully, we did make our flight. Barely, though. So close, because the security line was long. Because yet again, those other people from the night before were trying to leave as well. It was a quick flight back home in comparison to the other flights that we had. We got home to sweet Texas, and our parents picked us up. We just melted into our seats in comfort because we were finally home and in the hands of way more adultier adults. There you have it, the longest, weirdest, creepiest night of my whole life. So now back to the haunted history of the Hollywood Roosevelt. That is actually a hotel where Marilyn Monroe lived many years of her acting career, and actually where she died. So people describe the energy in there as very sad and vain, which is very interesting. I got the very sad part for sure. But there have been many, many other reports of ghosts in this hotel. It was built in 1927, so obviously there's probably been a lot going on, especially where it's located. I saw a YouTube video about the Hollywood Roosevelt a little while back, and it completely caught me off guard because everything people were saying was exactly what I experienced in that hotel. They talked about how there were people in weird clothing, like from another decade, or they also talked about how there were misplaced objects in rooms that had already been cleaned. Like, that one took me back so far, because what if that was our hotel room that we initially went into with the milkshake and everything? Regardless, we got a nice upgrade, and I'm thankful to have survived that experience. Also, American Horror Story Hotel is actually based on two different LA hotels, one of them being the Hollywood Roosevelt. So if you've ever seen American Horror Story Hotel, you kind of get what I mean by creepy vibe. Anyway, that wraps up this first episode of season 2. I hope you guys liked this story because it was 100% true and 100% awful. So hopefully you got some enjoyment out of it because I sure didn't. Next, we turn to Reddit to see what you guys had to say. Also, if you don't follow us on Reddit, our username is gruesomely_gorgeous. And you can get involved in the next weekly question. What's your most terrifying experience with a hotel? Have you ever stayed in a haunted hotel? Just a Girl, 2018, replied with, "We traveled with some family to Six Flags, New Jersey, and stayed at a Howard Johnson in the mid-1990s. Our room was fine, but my cousin's family requested their room to be changed because they felt theirs hadn't been cleaned. I can't remember what they noticed that made them think the room hadn't been cleaned, but it definitely wasn't what was found on the mattress when housekeeping went in to clean the room later that day. As we were coming back from the pool, we saw hotel employees carrying out a mattress that was covered in blood. Then we realized the mattress had come from the room my cousin's family was originally put in. We never found out what happened on that mattress in that room, but police weren't called, so I assume it wasn't a crime. As a kid at the time, it was super creepy, but I think it was more likely an addict breaking in and accidentally blowing a vein or something." The Amazing Amy said, "This wasn't really in a hotel, but years ago, my mom bought a really nice patio furniture set that came from a hotel that had closed down. So she had it about 2 years, and then one day I grabbed one of the back pillows off a chair and put it on the ground to sit on. And then a bit later, I accidentally stepped on the edge of it and I heard a crunch. So I opened the casing and found a folded up gas station napkin with a freaking glass hypodermic needle inside, filled with what I'm guessing was heroin. It was all black. I'm so lucky I was wearing shoes, or it would have sliced my foot right open."
Darth Hello Kitty replied, "My ex and I stayed at the Blackstone in Chicago before it was renovated. The elevator didn't stop at most of the floors, and the room was kind of musty. We went exploring. Floors that the elevator didn't stop were easy to get to via the stairs. Lots of spooky-looking hallways and doors. Fortunately, we had a flashlight. The best part was when we came down a hall and found ourselves looking down on a tremendous ballroom with fancy sofas and a grand piano draped with sheets. It was amazing. And it's all fancy now, alas!" Rocky20817 said, "I was given a room that was already occupied, and when I opened the door and went up, there were two dudes up to no good. Probably something illegal. They jumped up with a barrage of, 'What the fucks?' and appeared to be hiding something. I apparently backed out, apologizing profusely, and returned to the front desk to get the right room key. She tried to give me the room across the hall, but I demanded a higher floor so that I wouldn't bump into them." Antiochles Kid said, "I stayed the night in a hotel in Tennessee that I swore was haunted. It was freezing cold in a far corner, and I thought a window was open. I checked, but everything was locked up tight and no wind coming in. I laid down to watch TV, and I turned the lamp on next to the bed. About an hour later, I'd apparently fallen asleep. I woke up to the TV blaring on static and the lamp blinking on and off. I sat up, groping for the remote, and turned off the TV. Just then, the lamp went out, and I sat up in the dark, watching a shadow manifest itself in the far corner of the room, the same corner that was freezing cold. It started slowly from the floor up and took the shape of a man in like 1940s dress suit slash zoot suit, hat and all. It never developed facial features, but I could tell he was staring right at me. I quickly turned the TV back on for light, bracing for the static, but the channel was back on fine. I quickly looked at the phantom, and he was gone, just an empty corner. The lamp turned on fine, and I stayed awake the rest of the night, watching that corner, afraid to fall asleep. Every single light on in that motel room. As soon as daylight shone, I hurried to check out. Wished I hadn't been in such a fright and hurry. I'd like to have questioned the hotel clerk or maids or researched the hotel better."